can't get the Nana bus to play. I don't know what just happened.
That was one of the ideas, but it wasn't a very good one, was it?
I can't. Did you want to start over or what?
I don't know. Let's just go with it.
Okay. Welcome to. Oh. The
Nano Blitz. There it is. It's just much quieter than the
others. Yeah, everything else is pretty loud. I don't know.
I don't know why that. Well, you know, I actually had to delete everything that was on this Zoom pod track P8. Go ahead and send me your royalties, Zoom. But re-upload it. So maybe that's where it got. Missed. Anyway, this is the Nano Blitz. It's a Super Sunday, or it's a big game Sunday.
Yeah, the Puppy Bowl introductions are occurring.
That's right. Some of these puppies look too big to be in this bowl.
That last one was supposed to be a Chihuahua mix. That's the biggest Chihuahua mix I've ever seen.
Well, it's a mix.
Yeah. It's mixed with what?
Right. That looks like Wishbone.
It's like 1/14 Chihuahua, and then the rest of it is grizzly bear.
Werewolf.
Yeah. Oh, it's Butterbean.
Oh, it's a Chihuahua beagle. Shout out to Benson.
So welcome to Super Sunday. If you hear chips and everything like that, well, that's because it's Super Sunday.
We're snacking. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nerds.
Yeah. No, there's literally nerds on the table.
Yeah. There's two bags of them.
Have not discovered the Nerds gummy clusters? Highly recommend.
Well, I'm sure Ryan Tannehill will write in and let us know that he was upset about it all.
Especially at the end here.
Yeah. Or Jason. Oh, yeah. Especially at the end. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. So, speaking of things that Ryan Tannehill's not involved in, there's a really big game today. Sorry, Ryan.
There is?
Yeah, there's a big game today.
I thought it was a Rihanna concert.
She's a fan of Patrick Mahomes.
Well.
Oh, wait.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
Don't let Brittany hear that. Is it? What's his?
Brittany.
Is it Brittany? Yeah.
Brittany.
You know, we haven't seen really much of her or his brother Jackson at all.
What I have seen of Jackson, it's a TikTok thing that I'll never get.
Yeah, I don't get it either. That's fine. You know what? Yeah, if they're successful at TikTok, then good for them.
Yeah.
They had two, not Jackson, but Patrick and Brittany just had their second baby, or she's due with her second baby.
Oh, okay. So she's got things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, she always seemed very pleasant to me. Like, I didn't get the whole outrage over her with the champagne. It was like, just didn't make sense to me. She's just enjoying life and loves her husband and is excited that gets along with her brother-in-law. I don't think that should be a crime.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the hottest take you're going to get on this podcast today. Until Nate talks some more.
It's going to be hot.
Nate's right. Fired up.
Hot. I actually have not asked Mr. Timothy here whether or not, like if he has a rooting interest or anything. I kind of know my wife's, but I'll let her obviously speak for herself because she's smarter and prettier than me.
Yeah.
You're only saying that because I made the pizza dip.
It's true, though. Like, I got radio looks.
I think you're selling yourself short.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that short.
I think if you were in a bar today, Chad would definitely ask you out. Right. So anyway, you were asking me if I have a rooting interest in the big game today.
Yes.
Yes. So no, I don't have a rooting interest, so to speak. I like Kansas City's team. Here's the thing. I always bring this up when people are like, why don't you root for Kansas City? They're a Missouri team. The owner of Kansas City was the first owner to suggest that to be on board with the Rams leaving St. Louis because he didn't want to compete, right? So So, you know, I can't just default like the Chiefs, but I like Andy Reid as a coach. I like the roster that they put together for the most part. I think they've got some really good players. Patrick Mahomes is probably the best quarterback in the league, you know. There's a lot to like there with Kansas City. I don't remember if we talked about this back when he was coming out of college, but I've always kind of liked Jalen Hurts. I really like his story. I love how he was in Alabama and then he went to Oklahoma. So there's a part of me that really likes Jalen Hurts and would like to see him be successful. I'd like to see this A.J. Brown trade be worth something for him. You know, it's just... I like both of these teams. I've been Philadelphia in our Madden League at one point, back when they had Tim Tebow, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. I don't really have a rooting interest, but I think I would like to see Philadelphia win, which is why Kansas City's going to win.
Okay.
Yeah. Like last week I picked San Francisco and the Bengals. So that's why I know, like, any team I pick is going to be the team that
Brock
loses.
Purdy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, I love Brock Purdy. How can you not? It's a great story. And he was great at Iowa State. You know, I thought he was a really good college quarterback. I think he's a great example, too, of being the right guy in the right system with the right amount of experience, right? When you compare him to Trey Lance, Trey Lance has all of these fantastic traits that Brock Purdy probably will never have. Like, he's faster. He's got a bigger arm than Brock has.
He's got more facial hair.
Right. Yeah.
That's actually slightly true, even though
I love that
Trey Lance has a baby face still.
Right. I love that meme that was going around about, like, here are some pictures of the remaining quarterbacks in their and when they were in junior high, and it's a picture of Brock Purdy in his San Francisco uniform. But all those talents are, like, all those traits are off the charts. But I think what Brock Purdy is showing you is that he's taking, what, did he have 5 years starting experience?
Four years
starting experience at Iowa State. Again, not the most impressive athletically, but he has some athleticism to him. He has some talent, and he's just in the right system for what he is. And he's a good leader. He immediately had that locker room. People believed in him, and he led that team. And I think sometimes we, like, when we talk about the draft class right now, like, that's the thing I don't see in Will Levis. People talk about Will Levis being, yep, like, because he's got this really strong arm, he's got athleticism, he's got all this stuff, and he does have some experience, but I don't see it with him, right? And, like, frankly, I wasn't sure about Brock Purdy because, you know, but the fact that he blew up as Mr. Irrelevant, that's just a really great story. How can you not root for that guy?
Yeah, he's no longer irrelevant.
Exactly. He's very relevant at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too, pardon me, it also goes down to who can make the reads, who can read the defense without losing their mind. You can have all the physical tools in the world, but if you can't put the mental side of the game together, you know, how many star athlete quarterbacks or big arms have we seen flame out?
That's a good point.
You know, Brock Purdy, that experience he had and clearly how he was coached up, but also just his, you know, his read and his intelligence makeup, he was able to adjust to that speed. And, you know, again, you think of how many number one draft picks have legitimately made it so far, even just first round quarterbacks right now,
right. Because
they were drafted because they were toolsy. I am really distracted by this Meow Mix commercial. Wow. Oh, nope. It's Arm & Hammer litter. Animal Planet's fascinating. Anyway, these toolsy quarterbacks that they're missing the one tool between the ears to, you know, finally put the pieces together. Like, everybody wondered if Josh Allen could do it. He did it, but he's one of the exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Mahomes also being a little bit of an exception, but, you know, as a multi-sport athlete coming from a professional athlete family, he's got a little bit different background and understanding all that too.
Yeah, that, I think that's a really good point. It's all about where they go, you know, and where they're at. Like, look at Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, again, a great example of a guy who has all the talent in the world, but he's with the wrong coach at the wrong organization in his first year, and he doesn't. And people are like, "Oh, did we make a mistake thinking Trevor was going to be the next big thing?" No, we made a mistake in hiring the coach that we hired in Jacksonville. That was the mistake. Trevor's done nothing but improve under Doug Peterson. So, again, you know, there's so many things that go into making that player a winner. And so, yeah. Anyway, but none of these guys are playing in the Super Bowl. Well, Mahomes is playing in the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are going to have issues.
You think so?
I think they are fallible. And what keeps them in it is the fact that Mahomes does the Mahomesy things. But the defense has gaps,
mm-hmm.
and the offense has moments, too, where it's like, where did they go? Nobody's open, or the line didn't hold up. But when all the pieces fit, they're unbeatable. So the question is, are the pieces going to fit, or are they going to have one of those up-and-down games that makes it really exciting to watch?
Yeah.
But maybe doesn't come out with the outcome they want. As far as who I'm rooting for, that's one of those things, you know, like you're talking about the ownership, but also, you know, I know folks that are St. Louisans that say they just can't root for anything Kansas City because, you know, oh, it's that longtime hatred. And I actually lived in Kansas City before I lived in St. Louis.
Okay.
And, you know, granted, I was like 3, but, you know, I went to Royals games, you know, never went to a football game, but that was a team I was aware of first. And then I went north and lived in North Dakota where my teachers tried to convince us all either to be Vikings or Packers fans, which those teams were also not so great during those times. And then I moved down here, and a few years after we moved down here was when the Rams came to town. So that was the first team I really got to wrap my head around. And then, well, we're not going to talk about that. But so I can't do the, oh, I can't root for Kansas City because I'm from St. Louis, because that actually technically was my original team, if you want to label down to it. I like Kansas City. Am I rooting for them? Yeah, but if the Eagles win, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not going to be disappointed either, because I think they're a fun team to root for. And I love the Battle of the Kelseys. I really hope they let the mom do the coin toss today. That would be awesome.
Oh, that would be great. And they should have her on the next podcast to talk about why the son that won is her favorite.
Oh, that one puppy still hasn't come out. Nate?
Not every puppy was made for the bright lights.
It's true.
It's unbearable. I agree with a lot of what both of y'all said there. Like, Mahomes is Mahomes, Kelsey is Kelsey, you know, like,
which but one?
The catcher, not the
hander offer.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh. Snapper.
It's already hard enough as it is to keep my brain in one order. But basically, like, it'll come down to a couple of things. The Chiefs defense takes risks.
Yeah.
Do those risks pay off, or do they get, you know, burnt by those risks? They're going to have some cover 0 points, you know, like that kind of thing. You know, like, they take risks. So I just don't know. Like, it's really hard to kind of say, oh, you know, in a lot of ways, like, I would like to see Mahomes win, you know, because I think this is one more evolution toward that long term, you know, the contract and that building. And like, this is an evolution of the team and how they have to build around the, you know, some of those key players and then draft around them, right?
Right.
They've done that to be where they are right now. Sorry, that was just bugging me. but also, like, you have to sit there and, you know, and this is the GM side of me that I'm never going to be because I'm not a GM, but... you know, and also what Philadelphia has done. They put together a team.
Yeah, they did.
You know, and they still have capital, draft capital there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy to think, you know, that kind of thing. So, but they've done it differently than Kansas City has.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things. I like Jalen Hurts' story, how Philadelphia has stuck with him And it's starting to pay off because look at what they've been able to put around them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the trade for Brown, you know, was a smart move at the time, you know, that kind of thing. And you pair him with, you know, Smith and, you know, like all those things, you know, Goddard, you know, their offensive line. But who's going to break? Like, yeah. that's the thing. Like, what is going to happen, you know? And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I don't think I'm going to be upset by either team winning.
Right.
Which is a good thing. I think a little bit more of me, because of my youth, you know, growing up, whenever I did, the Chiefs were, through most of my youth, the Missouri team, other sure. than the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, right. Big Red.
But that's kind of, that's where I, you know, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I think we're all pretty open. We just want to see a good game. So I think the only thing that would really be upsetting would be if the refs decide the game. I think that would be a problem. You know, officiating hasn't been great. But I think my thought here is that if the, Kansas City Chiefs get up by 10, I think the game's over. I think if the Eagles have to play from behind, they lose. And then I think they lose badly at that point too. So
they have to throw the ball more, and they're really predicated off of what they can do with Hurts getting outside the pocket. Some of the, you know, makeshift stuff that makes him dynamic as a runner and a passer.
Yeah. So my official prediction score, I thought about this on the way over, is Kansas City 27, the Eagles 17. Because I think they get behind. I think if they get behind early, they never come back.
What do you think it is at half?
I think at half it is 14-3 Kansas City at the half.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like if I have to play within my score, you know, that's what, like, if everything happens the way I envision it happening, which is based off of me wanting the Eagles to win, then Kansas City's going to jump out to an early lead, take a 2-touchdown lead. Kansas City's going to take the Eagles are going to take a field goal at some point because they have to, but they're going to struggle. They're going to make an adjustment that gets them 2 touchdowns in the second half, but at that point it's over. Kansas City hits a couple field goals and a touchdown, and the game's over. That's how I see this playing out. Which is not how I wanted it to play out. I wanted it to be really close. I wanted it to be like 38-35, and it's won by somebody at the last minute, you know.
And I hope we don't see another game like the NFC title game, because that was going to be a great game.
Yeah.
And injuries, just there's nothing that the 49ers could do about that. I'm not sure then, too, you had a true representation of how good the Eagles are or aren't.
Right.
Because, you know, they were playing against an exhausted defense that, and their defense didn't have to try.
Right.
Yeah, by the time you got in the later half, but that also could have saved them some energy. So it'd be interesting to see how they come out of the gate after that. But, you know, that would, you talk about the, if it was bad officiating, that being a factor. I think if you got into that kind of injury situation again, too, that would be another one. But, you know, when has that ever happened? That was unprecedented.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Team is literally out of quarterbacks after being down to quarterback number 4 or 5 this season.
That was their fourth quarterback. So is it Josh Johnson?
Josh Johnson, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's been around for a while, and he's been in like XFL and AFL and all that. And then he got a concussion, right?
Yeah.
And so then Brock Purdy's out there, but he can't throw the ball more than 5 yards.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. That's just really bad luck that you have all of those quarterbacks on that roster and they're all hurt. Because Jimmy G, Trey Lance, and Brock Purdy all give you a chance to win that game. Potentially. You know, but to Sarita's point, the Eagles defense doesn't have to try. The 49ers defense gets stuck out there for really long periods of time, and it just doesn't work out.
That is a thing that I've noticed about Shanahan's offenses is quarterbacks get injured in his offenses.
Oh, you think so?
But I mean, you go all the way back to, you know, Washington.
Oh, yeah. So RG3?
All the whole situation in Cleveland,
because he was Manziel's.
Oh.
I mean, it's just like, I mean, you sit there and you think about it, and I think a lot of it has to do with maybe the play action and the pressure that the quarterback eventually sees at points of the game. Like, brilliant, don't get me wrong, like, but the injury history is there. Yeah.
I know he got asked about that in a press conference, and he just kind of clapped back, but...
And maybe he's just a victim of the circumstances, but at some point you got to think, okay, you know, maybe there's something there to that. So, anyhow.
All right. Cool. Any other predictions? Any prop bets? We're in Missouri, so we can't like gamble on this, but
everybody around us can.
Right. True.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we know who's singing the national anthem?
No.
No, I don't know. Did they get all off key?
Well, there's always the over under for the national anthem, right? Like how long will the national anthem take?
Way too long. No, that's not me not being patriotic.
Why do you hate America, Nate?
Those were my balloons.
Why don't you just take a knee right now? Okay.
I'm sorry, 40,000 feet is all that I can do. sorry.
Chris Stapleton?
Yeah, Chris Stapleton.
Okay, so he's a guitarist, so he's going to play probably while he does this, don't you think?
That'll be pretty straight ahead, I think.
So that, I think that I'm taking the over on whatever it is, because he'll be putting a solo in there somewhere, right?
It depends if he's accompanied or not.
Well, I think he's the accompaniment. Like he's a guitar player, right? I mean, he's a singer, but he's known for doing these blues country licks, you know. So I bet he plays it up
on the gitter,
on the pick harp,
or is it the guitar?
It's the pick harp, is what we call it.
Pick harp.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what he does. I'm a musician. I have too many musician friends on social media. Somebody will be complaining about it, no matter what he does.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And which takes me to my next hot take of that they need to stop doing halftime shows.
I want Bon Jovi.
Well, it is your life.
I mean, how has it never been Bon Jovi?
How's it never been the Foo Fighters?
Also true.
Well, actually, there's a story about why it's never been the Foo Fighters.
Oh.
Because supposedly Dave Grohl got drunk at a party and somebody was talking about the Super Bowl and he made a drunken comment about how like Super Bowl is where you go to end your career, and then they've never been asked, and he regrets that to this day. But Bon Jovi is a big football guy, owned like an arena league team, didn't he?
All of his stuff is huge.
Philadelphia Soul.
Of his music is huge arena rock.
Yeah,
you know, that's played at virtually every stadium sporting event.
Everybody wants him dead or alive.
That's right. Well, this with him having owned a Philadelphia team, like, I mean, this would have been the year. It's now or never, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we are halfway there.
Right. I think this show's living on a prayer at this point. I just never get into that. I'm just not a fan of the halftime show.
Yeah. I'm just too much of a young gun for it.
I'm not a fan of Super Bowl parties either.
I mean, food.
Yeah.
Okay. I love food. Okay, I love good conversation. I love being around people that you know, and you know, enjoying. I like comedy with like all the fun commercials, which aren't as fun as they used to be. It's not novel anymore, you know. But I don't like all that while I'm trying to watch the most important football game of the year.
I will say one of the very few times I've been at a true Super Bowl party was the wardrobe malfunction year.
Oh, man.
And that was kind of fantastic because that was a whole group going, wait, what did we just... And, of course, you didn't have TiVo or Rewind at that point.
Yeah.
And so everybody's debating, did I just see what I think I saw?
So
some people did have TiVo. And
yeah, we didn't at that party.
Well, we weren't in the 1% at that point. Yeah. So I remember that, too, because I was a youth pastor. and there were certain people in our youth leadership that was like anti culture. So they were like, well, we can't watch Super halftime. So it's like, it's not a big deal. It's not going to be a big deal. It's just some singing and some dancing. And then, oh, also a boop is going to be there. And, you know, how could I know that?
I, on the other hand, was with pretty much the exact opposite kind of group.
Yeah.
And they were all going, was that a boob?
Yeah, complete different reaction here. Yeah. Wow. So anyway, Super Bowl halftime.
Boobs.
Prince is still the best one.
Yes.
So,
and the funny thing about it, that same Super Bowl, I called that kickoff that Devin Hester had for the touchdown.
Because that's how it opened, right?
Yeah. I was like, he's going to return this. And he did. And everybody just looked at me.
That was your free one.
You're doing nothing to disprove that the NFL is rigged.
Yeah. That's right. Nate wrote that Super Bowl.
I was in on that script. My bad.
So I didn't know this. I just found this out this year. But apparently that year. So apparently the performer does a press conference too. And I didn't know this, but like, Prince came out to his press conference and instead of answering questions, played a 12-minute show.
Oh, man.
But he started it by saying, you know, contrary to popular opinion, I do want to answer some questions. So who has a question? And somebody asked a question and then he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and starts playing the guitar instead of actually answering. I was like, that's fantastic. That's so Prince.
That is the Prince thing.
Oh,
this
man.
Bores me.
Could he potentially be the most underrated guitar player of all time?
Oh, absolutely.
I just love that. Like, I'm sitting there watching him play, and he's playing with one hand.
Right.
And I'm like, no way. This is awesome.
He's phenomenal. So, he was phenomenal.
Whew. Yeah. I'm glad that I got to see him in concert.
Okay, let's lock this up. So I officially took Kansas City.
Kansas City for me.
I want it to be Kansas City. I'm going to say Philly.
So we're going to see if, because I wanted to be Philly, which is why I said Kansas City. We're going to see which of our bad luck trumps the other one.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'm just stuck alone.
Team Fluff just took the lead over Team Ruff.
So Roan.
Oh my gosh. They got a cat version of this?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
I had no idea.
Yeah, they're the cheerleaders right now.
Until we got a cat, I was just not a cat person.
They're unique.
Primarily because I'm allergic.
Talon Hurts. They named the puppy Talon Hurts. T-A-I-L-E-N.
That's funny.
Who is currently just barking at this other dog.
Who's just not having it.
The other dog looks like Benji.
Yeah, Benji. I haven't seen Benji in a long time.
Old enough to remember Benji.
Go look it up.
Good series.
As long as we don't have any old yellers out there, we'll be good.
So Madden.
Right.
We are a franchise first podcast.
EA.
Although, thanks to EA Tiburon, and I'm stressing the Tiburon portion, we have become more of a football podcast, which I'm cool with.
I think there's a misunderstanding. I still think there's a misunderstanding about how the structure of these companies work. It is a studio issue. I think we talked about this on our last podcast. Tiburon has killed every game. They only have Madden. And now EA NCAA, which has been pushed back another year. Like, that studio is a problem. I think the studio is the problem. It's not EA. There are plenty of people who, there are plenty of studios that work under EA that put out good games. Anyway, we digress. So I think the last time we did a podcast, we talked about the Christmas Massacre, franchise massacre of EA losing all of our franchise files, basically.
And, well, we were still waiting to determine whether or not our league was fully affected by that.
It was.
It was.
Yeah.
As a majority of those within the known world, galaxy, universe, this verse at least.
Right.
Other verses, it may be different because
we might be, when it comes to Madden, paradox. I think we're in the darkest timeline.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why Aaron Rodgers is going into darkest retreat.
Maybe he needs to take the guys from Tiburon with him.
Sorry.
Well played.
Okay, is this X-Men as well? Right. You're, you know, like, I'm...
All right.
But yes, I'm going to let you just roll with it.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll roll with it.
You're pretty good at it.
All right, so well, let's just lay it out. So they come out and they say, if you took our advice and logged into your franchise, it's now been corrupted. There's a 60% chance you won't get it back. Everybody jumped on the 60%, and then EA every time after that would go back to, well, it was only 2% of existing leagues, which, again, I have 6 leagues just from making draft classes and doing tests, right? So, like, 2% doesn't make a difference. We're still talking hundreds of thousands of leagues. At least. So they lost all those. Of course, there was uproar, starts getting negative press. And then EA Tiburon does something unprecedented in my mind. And they said, we're going to try to make it right for our consumer, which is not something they typically do. They typically just give you an apology, do something easy. But they came out and they made an offer and said, if your league was affected, if you lost your league, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to give you a free, no-nonsense beta key to Madden 24 when the Madden 24 beta hits in the summer.
Which it should be anyhow, but we're not going to go there.
Yeah, well, that's another topic. But, you know, they're not going to make you jump through any hoops to get it. So, okay, that's step one. Step two, though, which is really the meat and potatoes of this whole thing, is if you lost a league, you are going to get a 50% discount on Madden 24. So that is the make right. That's the tangible thing that they've given us. There's a few other things that we need to talk about in regards to this, but this is the tangible offer that they can make good on right now. And the question is, Was it the right response?
Well, we were actually, if I recall correctly, we were actually saying, yeah, they've got to do something. And it was actually something along these lines. You know, I think we went so far as to saying, well, they got to give us the next version. Well, you know what? Like, half of that is not a bad response, considering that they could have done what they've done in the past and just said, eh, tough shit.
Yeah.
There's the E.
Right. Well, technically, we lost half of the life of the game, right?
Yeah.
So they gave us half off the next game. I think there were some people that said, hey, they should give us refunds on this game. I think logistically, that just doesn't work. Like, I get why you would say I should get a refund. I totally get that argument. I don't disagree with that argument. The thing is, what can they actually do? Because refunds have to, how many different companies they have to work through to give a refund to confirm all of that kind of information. Say you bought a physical copy from a store, like, they're tracking this based off of your EA user account, right? So they can't. How do they figure out how to get you a refund through Best Buy when you're playing it on Xbox?
There's a whole bunch of data privacy issues there.
Right.
Anyhow.
Yeah, there's a lot of logistical reasons why that doesn't work. So this is the next best step. But then, you know, some people might say, well, they need to give us the full game for free. Like, hey, that would be awesome. But I'm going to say that for me personally, in a vacuum, this was the right response.
Yeah.
I also appreciated, too, that in the email when they sent that out, they were fully transparent as to this is what happened. Here was the exact technical issue. And they detailed that out. Because one of the things we talked about last time, too, was that it was kind of just lip service explanation. Mm-hmm. Oops, this thing happened. And this time they flat out came out and said, look, here's what happened. Here's what happened with the servers. This is what caused the legacy data to corrupt and so on and so forth. You know, and they acknowledged, we realize we cannot make up for your lost time.
Yeah.
It's almost like they listen to our podcast.
Well, I'm sure they do. Yeah. Without a doubt. That's why guys like Sean Grady and Clint are not active on Twitter anymore, is because they listen to our podcast and they're like, this is all the feedback we need.
It's true.
Yeah. They get together with Ryan Tannehill,
mm-hmm.
sip cognac and listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of
people. Jason texts them.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, y'all got it, it's out. Listen.
Yeah. In context to our Twitter feed, you know, there are a lot of people that think there should be more done, but I don't think the feeling of it there should be more is based off this incident. I think the feeling there should be more is based off this incident as the straw that broke the camel's back of putting out 15 years of bad games.
Right. And I also think going with that, okay, so we get the game at 50% off and we get the next version. And I know we're going to talk about some of the other things that they promised that they're working and developing on it. Do they finally follow through? Is this finally the thing that wakes them up to go, oh man, we've been saying this stuff for years, but we really have to earn our audience back? Because if they don't.
That's great. It's a really good question. So this is the other thing they said. First, we want to share work we're accelerating to give our loyal franchise commissioners more control over their franchises. We looked at what type of tools would allow commissioners to customize leagues, setting them up in unique and novel ways for their own and others' enjoyment. Design work has begun on a commissioner tools feature set for future Madden titles. We intend to share more details on the commissioner tool features and a timeline in the coming months. So, like, hey, we realize that we impacted franchises, so here's something we're doing for franchise fans.
And again, it's the stuff that they've been saying, oh, wait till you see what we do next in franchise.
Right.
Okay, maybe now we're actually going to see something.
Maybe. It's always the promise of what's to come, though. So,
right. Or maybe not.
Right. Well, I think there's some key words in here that stand out to me. Right. So I think the first thing is, they're work that they're accelerating. So they already had thoughts on this. We know they had thoughts on commissioner tools because they've already talked about them. We're going to get to that here in a second. But they're accelerating it. And they want to give you...
Accelerating means go faster.
That's right. Yeah. Because if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
So here's the words though that stand out to me. Design work has begun, and then for future Madden titles. Okay, so those are the two bits that really stand out to me. So the first thing, design work. So like we talk about the people they hire from the community and then the people who actually build the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between being a game designer and a game developer.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are people who actually create the game and people who help design the concepts that go into the game. And those are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So they are designing, putting together the design elements, right? That doesn't mean that they're building it. It just means they're designing it. And I think that's important. It's the difference between having a blueprint and an actual foundation laid for the thing. And then the second part of that is future Madden titles. So they did not say for Madden 24.
Right.
It's for future Madden titles. Which kind of brings us back to what they said, you know, after Madden 21 came out. And everybody complained. There was a big upheaval because that was the fixed Madden franchise movement was after Madden 21, right? Because they said, hey, we've focused and committed on franchise mode, and then they did absolutely nothing. So one of the things they came out with is commissioner tools. They talked about a roadmap for commissioner tools, and this is what they said that they were working on after Madden 21. It said, commissioner tools is a large bucket of items with a lot of opportunities and a lot of work. We see this as something we'll continue to work on to give you more control over your franchise in the years ahead. For Madden 21, Madden 22, we are looking at the following tools. Number one, ability to undo transactions, reducing friction, and control over player movement, contracts, and trades. So that was the first one. Number two, the ability to approve trades. And number three, the ability to reset a game in case of a disconnect. So when we look at those three options, this is what they said they were looking at for Madden 21 and Madden 22. When we look at those three things, how much of that is in the game by Madden 23?
None of it. But they have acknowledged that they do need more commissioner tools. They've communicated that through Twitter or whatever, the kind of thing that they're working on those commissioner tools.
Right. But again, they said that they were working on these three things for Madden 21 and 22. And they did deliver on a fraction of it, right? So So the ability to undo transactions. If a team signs a player in free agency, you can undo that the same week that they get signed. Okay.
Yes.
See, these are the things I never see since I don't have the magic buttons.
Right. So this is something you can do. You can go into the transaction screen and look at your league transactions, and you can look at it. And like, this is helpful because the reason this is helpful is because teams don't auto assess during the week in real time what their team needs are. So say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this offseason say, what we really need is a quarterback because Tom just retired. So they go out to free agency and they're putting some money in on the big time quarterbacks that are available in free agency. And then Sarita says, you know what? I don't need my starting quarterback anymore. I'm going to go trade him to Tampa Bay and get like a good draft pick out of it. So that happens. But Tampa Bay still says, we still need a quarterback because it doesn't update. So then the week advances and they go sign somebody so they give up a draft pick. And then they take a cap hit because they sign this player and they end up paying some player. Now they've got two quarterbacks and they're missing draft picks. And like, if it had just updated, they wouldn't have made that change. So if you go into transaction history, you can go say, nope, they didn't sign that guy, and he'll go back to free agency and then somebody else can sign him.
Why is that your job?
It shouldn't be.
Oh, okay.
Right. Like, I mean, it's a cool tool in theory, but right. Why should I have to do that? Like, I only have to do that because the game doesn't work right.
And, you know, I could see that being a useful tool, like when somebody accidentally hits the accept trade button or presses the trade button and accidentally trades things they don't want to away, like I might have done like 3 seasons ago.
Right. Well, it would be great if I could reverse your trades, but I can't.
I was going to say, but that's not how that works.
Right. I can only reverse a signing during the free agency period. And it has to be the same week they get signed. So I have to go look at that every time if I'm going to really care about it.
Do you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I care. I just don't care enough. Right? So, and then I think about this one, the ability to approve trades. I think in our league, I don't really want to do that. Like, I don't want to be the arbitrary Roger Goodell saying whether or not something's fair or not. But so these were all promised to us that they were going to try to put these things in 21 and 22. We got the reversal free agent signing in 22, but that's it. And now they've let us know, hey, we realize that we screwed up. So we're going to accelerate these tools because you guys deserve these tools. It's like, yes, but you've already promised us these tools and you've not delivered on them yet.
And that puts accelerate into a completely different context right. Of, you know, if you're not moving at all, then acceleration doesn't mean much.
It does not. But I think what it does, this is a great way. This is a term that is used when talking about people who have to wait in any kind of line or queue. This is a resetting of the clock, right? So they've talked about accelerating commissioner tools during Madden 23 run, but they also already talked about that during Madden 2021. So which is it? They're trying to get you to forget that you've already been waiting 2 years for this.
We're Michael Bolton in the car in Office Space.
We're singing gangster rap?
Right.
Yeah.
And no matter which lane we get into.
Yes. This lane's going faster, then we stop. And then we go to this lane, we'll stop. Yeah.
I interrupted you, Nate. I'm sorry.
How dare you?
I made the pizza dip.
I'm just joking. Now I can't get Michael Bolton out of my head. How dare you?
I'm not apologizing for that. He's the one that sucks.
Yeah, it's just Mike. Office Space. Yes. Like, we've talked about this many a time. Like, yeah. I feel like I would be a broken record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I just, I've mentioned it before, the only way to fix it is to fix the infrastructure at Tiburon.
Yeah. Start over
but yeah.
with somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think too, with these types of promises, we look at what they're promising. They're promising these improvements in franchise gameplay. And look, people talk about gameplay, they seem to only want to talk about on-field gameplay, but off-field gameplay is just as important. It's still a game that you're playing, whether you're organizing your roster or you're playing like Mutt. It's a game, you're playing it, right? They talk about these feature sets, and then it's like, well, we have this feature set, right? And I've had this conversation with some people who were like into MLB The Show and stuff, because like as a Madden guy who plays more Madden than those other games, anytime I play MLB The Show or I play NHL or I play FIFA or I play any of those things, NBA 2K, I'm always like, man, this thing is light years ahead. And people are like, well, what do you mean it's light years ahead? What do you mean it's light years ahead? Because Madden has this feature. And Madden has this feature. It's like, just because it has a feature doesn't mean it's good or that it works appropriately, right? So, like, head coaches is a great example. Coaching staff is a great example. We were talking about this. In a league that I'm playing in, my defensive coordinator got hired away from me to go be the head coach somewhere else. So I hired Ron Rivera, okay? Should there be a difference between Ron Rivera as my defensive coordinator as compared to a nameless, faceless character that EA made up just to fill a roster spot? There should be a difference, right? There is absolutely no difference if I have this coach or that coach coaching my team, because the trees are exactly the same and there's not enough variation in them. And if somebody gets hired away, I get all of those points back, right?
There's no X factor or superstar or anything like that.
Hey, that's a great thought.
You know, like, I mean, there isn't anything like that. Like, okay, well, I'm going to hire this coach because he's a quarterback guru.
Right.
Oh, wait, you know, like games have had that in the past.
Right. And like, so you can go in and say, well, this, you can pick one of the two sides of that tree and say, well, he's an offensive minded guy.
Yeah.
But then you have to fill up the entire offensive side and you don't get to focus on just the quarterback. You don't get to focus on just the offensive line or whatever that specialty might be. So then another example is something that got put in the game that we didn't realize until we had to restart our league was, and nobody can answer when this got put in the game, is Trade Finder. There's now a Trade Finder in the game. This is something that it should have had a long time ago. It's great that they have something like in there. But when you use it, there are some issues, right? So you put in you try to do a trade. You say, okay, so what can I get for this player that I want to trade off? And it shows you every trade option. And so all these guys want to trade these different players, and you can see their overall, but you don't know anything about that player. You have to leave that screen and then go examine those players. So I did this, like one of the first times this happened, I did this, and I said, okay, well, here's the players that this team wants to trade me for this guy. So I go and I rebuild it in the trade as a manual trade, and I try to trade it that way, and they're like, we don't approve of this. But if I do the Trade Finder, they're like, take them. Just take them. Or I've had situations where I'll have like a 29-year-old offensive tackle who's in a contract year, who's a 79 overall. And another team wants to give me a 25-year-old tackle who's an 82 overall for him. Why? In what world does that make sense?
One's a prime number and one's not.
Yeah, well, they're not anal like you are.
I had to give an answer. It's the only one that I can think of really quickly.
Well, and I think I was the one that actually discovered that button. And I think you, Nate, I don't think we're home yet.
No, I was home.
Okay, I couldn't remember. Because I remember sitting there and seeing that button and thinking, what's this? But I was terrified to push it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we'd already blown up our league and whatnot. And it was like, what am I going to accidentally make a trade here? Is this going to, am I going to lock down? What's going to happen? And when I pushed it and that popped up, it was like, no, I know that button was not there before until we restarted the league. And was that in some update that if somebody had restarted or started a league later might've been there versus, well, those that were in a league, it didn't come into play.
I went back and looked at all the gridiron notes I could find. Yeah. And could not find a mention of it anywhere. The closest thing was like when the game was coming out, they talked about how you could get instant. If you put somebody on the trade block, you would get instant interest if any team was interested. But that's completely different. That's the trade block. That's not saying.
Does that actually happen?
Only if people are interested in the player.
Which nobody ever is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly.
So I was going to say, I've never seen that happen. Well,
yeah. And it doesn't, I would say probably it doesn't actually happen instantaneously, because I've had some players on teams that I sign them, but they have that tag. They have that tag that always puts them immediately on the trade block, but nobody's interested until the next week. Yeah. So these things don't, like, they make these promises, but then they don't deliver on them. And then something else breaks, so they make more promises. They re-promise the same things.
Promises, promises.
Yeah, and the stuff they do put in the game.
R.A.P. Burt Bacharach.
They don't.
We forget all of the promises.
Right. So.
Sorry.
That's right. So then they put something in the game, and it doesn't function well. You know?
It's.
So that's, again, they need to replace it. So, but that brings me to the last bit that I think we'll talk about with Madden, unless you guys have something else. But so Mike Straw put this out on Twitter. And if you don't know who Mike Straw is, he works for Sports Gamers Online.
Works.
With quotation marks. So, like, we've talked about this a little bit. They can go do their thing. That's fine. I don't see them as a legitimate news outlet. I think, though, that there's plenty of evidence to suggest that they know people in the building and that they've talked to people in the building. I think that's fair. But just because you talk to somebody in the building doesn't mean what they told you is correct. And I think that's where sometimes you got to, like, are they vetting?
He's judging me because I'm crinkling the bag, but he started it on his side of the table. That's true. Just saying.
That's true.
I'm trying really hard. These nerds just, gummy cluster bags are noisy. We apologize, listeners.
Yeah, just
only a little.
Just rip the Band-Aid and grab out.
I just have hungry eyes. It's okay.
One look at you with
this. Oh, no.
Yes, this is what it's like living with him.
Okay. All right.
I wake up in the morning and I hear songs like that in my head already.
Okay, so anyway, well, so let's hear what Mike Straw had to say, though.
Right. Sorry.
So Mike Straw says, from an EA source on Madden. Jesus, my God. And I quote, "The discount for players who lost their franchise is only the beginning. EA has big plans for Madden 24, now specifically Madden 24, and the management of the game knows how big of a year it is, not just for the game, but for their future and their positions." That's a big statement.
So that says, that implies there's pressure coming from above.
Yeah, which there should be at this point.
Right.
I mean, you just had to justify giving a 50% discount on their money cow, you know what I mean?
And you think, you know, it's like we talked about last time, too. Yeah. It's not just, here's how many leagues. It's how many people are in each league. It's a multiple.
That's right. We had one league, but there were six people in that league. Right? So then how many 32-team leagues are? Well, 31-team leagues, because most leagues couldn't get the 32nd man to join because the game doesn't work right. But, yeah, I think that's a really good point. So take it with a grain of salt. Again, it's never true till it happens. Yeah, thanks, Salt Bay. It's never true until it happens, but EA wants Madden 24 specifically to be a big deal. And the people who are in charge, and this is a question, so, well, who's in charge? I think we're talking about the Sean Grady's. I think that's who we're really talking about here. Know that their future with the company is in jeopardy if Madden 24 isn't better. And not just doesn't have a server issue, but isn't a better game overall. And maybe even have a better Metacritic score, that kind of thing. But again, this statement is really open for a lot of interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Again, I go back to, I mean, if it's real, great. If it's fool me once, shame on me, fool me 24 times, or, you know, however many now.
Won't get fooled again, yeah.
It's, you know, and you would think somebody up top would realize that their cash cow is on a very fine wire right now. But, okay, if they could make changes right now that would make it better, does this crew deserve that second chance to fix it? I don't know.
I think we're beyond second chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whatever.
No, well, I also don't think they can achieve it.
No, because right. The infrastructure, they would have to
build a new game from the ground up.
Right.
And they just don't want to do.
Which, you know, if we want to be as positive as possible, maybe that's why maybe that's why NCAA has been pushed back, because they're rebuilding it and doing more with it than just pasting Madden, you know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Have we heard anything? Because I was just thinking about this. Usually right around after the Super Bowl is when they start to talk about who's going to be the cover and all that stuff. And, you know, the relative here's when to expect it. I mean, we're just now getting these statements from EA about how they screwed up this version. Are they going to delay that? Because they should.
Well, that's a good point. For one thing.
And, you know, it's usually that's the hype. Who's going to be the cover? Who's going to be the cover?
That's right.
Except for this past year where it was the obvious. It has to be Madden himself.
So,
which, by the way, is this just really the worst Madden curse ever?
Do they announce it at the Super Bowl, or do they announce it at the draft?
I want to say it's been in between the two, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think
it's not at the Super Bowl. I know that.
When Mahomes was on the cover, I remember being over here, which tells me it was at the draft.
Okay.
Right. So I think it's right around draft. So it's between now and the draft. They're going to announce it at some point, right? So I think that's a good question. Maybe they do postpone it until they have more to talk about.
I mean, I think they'd be wise.
I think it's just going to be Aaron Rodgers, but the whole cover is going to just be black.
Yeah. Well, is there an entire segment of that's great? Is there an entire segment of Madden players that just don't know what's going on and that are like us before the invention of technology and we're on Twitter and reading all this stuff and seeing all this commentary? Like, is there a large group of people? Because like we talk about the Madden community, but when you talk about like who's on Operation Sports and who's on Twitter and who's doing this and who's on these YouTube channels, they're all the same people and it's not a full picture of everybody that buys the game, right? So like that's why I'm not surprised when they do business as usual, because there's a large contingency of consumers that don't see or don't know all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the perfect example is somebody I know reaching out to me this week and is like, hey, Madden's $20. Should I get it? And I'm like, no, it's a steaming pile.
Right.
And it took me like 4 days of me telling them that it's a steaming pile.
Well, that reminds me, because I brought this up when you told me that story, is EA's got their new PGA game coming out, their new golf game coming out. And you know how they'll have the standard version and then they'll have like the gold version and like the premiums and all that. So if you buy the next version up, whatever the second version is, not only do you get the golf game and all the little extra bells and whistles that come with it, you get a free copy of Madden 23.
They've done that before, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
they have. Yeah,
and they're doing it right now when EA Play just got Madden. So Madden's now, if you have an EA Play subscription, you can get Madden and download it for free right now. So like, this is the right time to do that stuff because the season's over, football interest is going to start to wane a little bit. People aren't going to go out and buy the game full price. So they're like, let's use it to get interest in other.
By complete coincidence, the puppy they just introduced is named Madden.
what kind of dog was it?
I couldn't really tell. One with four paws, some fur.
Okay. Boom!
Wet nose.
If I say something and you don't want to listen, don't listen.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Oh, those guys are fighting. Throw a flag. Cocoa bean.
But, you know, I think, too, everybody's always kind of fussed. Oh, this is glitchy. That's glitchy. But they wrecked both franchise and Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
Which is the majority of the players, I think. I don't think there's a lot of people that don't play some kind of league. You know, there's some people that probably aren't playing it online that maybe didn't get hit, that they just play on their own. They've got their own leagues that they go through.
Sure.
But I tend to think that the majority are playing either Ultimate Team or League with other people. Maybe I'm wrong. Mm. I mean, like, if I have NHL, I play that on my own. But
yeah, I don't know how many people. I think there are millions who are playing it online. I think that's the way people play games a lot now. So, yeah, I think that it is affecting quite a few people. but maybe they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the weekend leaguers or whatnot.
Yeah.
But anybody who is into Mutt or franchise has been affected.
Right. But, you know, a couple of years ago, franchise people were up in arms, and you had a good group of Mutt guys. Some Mutt guys were like, yeah, we should stand in unison with them, but, you know, whatever. And then there were other Mutt guys who were like, oh, you guys are a bunch of bots because you don't play for money in these big tournaments, and you don't use all the cheese plays, and you know, you're not playing comp mode. You know, like, they were more interested in their own interests. But to Sherita's point, this year I feel like they screwed everybody really badly. It wasn't just franchise, or it wasn't just Mutt. Like, everybody got hurt by what all the issues that they had with the game this year. And we're finally coming to a place where both parties are, you know.
I think it's more unified than it's ever been.
Yes,
essentially, I think so. You know, it's like, hey, fix it. Like, just right. Fix it.
Fix your game.
Yeah.
Fix. All right. Fix. Step one, fix. Step two, it. Fix it. All right. Well, do we want to stop talking about Madden?
Yes. As you can see, I was very, very bored.
Yes. Well,
no, I'll put the one thing out there because we were talking about this beforehand. Since it's been back out, we've been okay.
We have been.
Since we restarted the league, knock on wood, we've been okay. There's been some still continuing little glitchy things, you know, the trade thing being weird. Anytime Nate and I play, it's always an adventure of incredible lag.
Which is weird because it's not our network connection. It, like, the only thing that's unified is that we're having to go through EA's servers.
Yeah.
Like, I just, yeah.
But, you know, we've kind of almost been, I don't want to say satisfied, but.
Yeah. Well, I know Chad was complaining about the defense's feeling different. I don't know. He never went into detail on that. But, like, I think, to your point, I've enjoyed the game more since the Christmas debacle than I have all year for a number of different reasons. To the point that, like, I've been playing my own offline franchise mode, which I rarely ever do until after the draft. And I'm just really enjoying it, and I want to play it. But I suspect that my interest is going to begin to wane after all of the major football milestones are done.
Right.
Like, once we get through this Super Bowl, I might go back to playing something else because football is going to kind of be out of sight, out of mind, other than going to Battlehawks games. And then...
Caw-caw.
Yeah. Caw-caw is the law. And then we're going to have the draft, you know, and that's going to have me interested. But then after the draft, like, there's really nothing football going on until August. So, you know, from the draft till then, I probably won't be as interested. But, yeah, I've been in... Right. I've just enjoyed playing the game for what it is.
And that's still a relative. We're comparing it to what we were playing before.
Right.
Not this is what the game should be. Oh, my gosh, this is amazing. But, hey, this is playable.
Right.
This is the bare minimum, and we're getting by. And some of us changed teams that made us a lot happier.
Yeah.
I don't know why playing with the Bengals is easier than playing with the Colts. Gosh.
Yeah.
You know, what a shock.
Well, I tell you what, I'm pretty agitated because I changed teams and I got Sam Howell as my quarterback with Seattle. I went to Seattle and traded for Sam Howell, and I imagined I was going to have to draft a quarterback, and I'm playing really well with Sam Howell because I figured it out. I figured out what I needed to be doing on offense, and now I'm like, well, crap. I invested all of these scouting investments into quarterbacks, and now I don't need one, and like the top quarterbacks in this particular draft class aren't like top five picks, so
that's because scouting is still broken. Right. Like, it's still not
right.
Like, yeah. Scouting and trades still not great. The towels are still driving me nuts. About ready to take every towel off every player I can take them off of.
Yeah. What I did, which is different. So I invested all my scouting. So my 3-star and my 2-star scout are actually offensive line.
Okay,
because you're always gonna draft an offensive lineman in my book. You're gonna try to draft a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman, or edge, or something like that, right?
That's fair.
So, I just put all my
That was unsweet tea.
But basically, like, I figured that was, like, I'm just going off the book on that. Like, it doesn't work right, so I'm just going to say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do, even though these are the positions that I want to look at.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's unfortunate, but at the same time, I'm like, at least I could pretty much fully scout all the offensive tackles.
Do you feel there's much difference between somebody who's 50% scouted and somebody who's 75 or 90% scouted?
No. But it may give me a little bit more insight if they're going to maybe go a little higher than I think.
Well, you don't know that until they're fully scouted.
Exactly.
It's harder to find the hidden gems.
Yeah. And then when you do, you don't know if they're actually going to go.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so a great example, the top quarterback in this draft class we're with right now is ranked a top five. And, you know, spoiler alert, he actually ends up scouting when you get him to 100. He's a first, second round talent, not a top five talent, right? So he's not even a first round talent. He's a first, second round talent, right?
Which is a lot of the top five.
But he's projected as a top five. Right. So when the AI goes to draft, are they going to know that? Or are they going to draft? Is the first quarterback needy team going to draft him?
Right. Or we all get the same player when it's like, you should scout this guy extra.
Yeah.
And that guy has D's and F's all across the board.
Right.
At least this time around. It's like, okay.
There was a guy, too, that had a story about being a really good return man. And I scouted him, and he's like a C to an F return.
Right.
And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, but he's good. He's good.
But he's really great. Yeah. He's a sure thing back there.
But you can't find out if anybody went to his birthday party.
No. I'm going to bet.